The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas, Parashas Vayishlach. It states in Perek Lamed Gimel Posuk Yud Ches, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem Ir Shchem, Asher Beretz Kenan, Bevoy Mipad Narom, Vayichan Espeneo Ir. Yaakov is now returning from his 22 years on the Derech by the house of Lovan, and he's returning with his family. And he's had his confrontation now with Esav, and he returns to the Ir Shechem, the city of Shechem. He's back in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Israel, and it states that he's Sholem. He's in totality. Rashi brings Sholem Begufay, that his physically he was in totality. Shenisrape Mitzahal Osoy, he had a refuah shlema. He was cured from the injury that he had to his side, which was when he had his struggle with the malach, with the angel, Shalom Memeina, and he was in totality with his money, with his physical wealth, his material wealth, Shalei Chosa Klumi Kolei Sederen, because even though he gave Esau such a lavish gift, still he did not lose by it. He had so much wealth. And Shalom Betei Rosai, and he also was in totality with his Torah, Shalishochach Talmud Bebeis Lovan, and all of the years in the house of Lovan. This is what he said, Im Lovan Gati Vatariag Mitzvah Shomati, that I kept the 613 mitzvahs, and he studied Torah. So he did not forget any of his Torah while he was in the house of Lovan. Then the Torah relates that something then happened. Vateitse Dino, Bas Leashi Yolda Liakov, Lireis Bivnei Soretz. They came to the city, so Dina went out. Dina, the daughter of Leah, went out. And she went out to see the daughters of the land. Rashi tells us, why does it say, Vateitse Dina Bas Leah, Dina, the daughter of Leah? She was the daughter also of Yaakov. Ela, Hashem Yitziose Nikra Bas Leah Shafi Yitzoni Yisoyisa. She had the nature, like her mother, to be quite forward and to go out. And this we find by her mother also. And the Medrash brings in Parshas Kiseitze, in Chav Beis, Dvorim Chav Beis, Posuk Chav Gimel, that states that Ki Yer Nara Meirose Liish U'matzo Ish Bo Ir, that if you find a young girl who was married to a man, and then someone found her in the city, and he violated her. So there the Torah tells us what the law is there. So there the Medrash says, and Rashi brings, Pirtza Keda Leganov. There's a saying that a break in the wall, that calls out to a ganov. If you have a break in your wall or a break in the fence, that invites a thief. The same thing, Ilu Yoshva Bebeisa Li'iralo. There, over there, it refers that if she would have stayed at home and not gone out, then that wouldn't have happened. And the same thing the Chazal referred to here, because a terrible thing happened to her. It states, Vayare so Shchem ben Chamor Achivin Nisi Oretz. Shchem, the son of Chamor, and Chamor was the king of the land. He saw her. The Rabban writes that she was very, very beautiful. And Vayikachosa, Vayishkavosa, Vyaneho. He took her and he violated her. And Vatid Bagnavshi Bedina Bas Yaakov. And he became very attached to Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. Vayea Vesanaro. And he loved her. Vayedaber Aleva Naro. And he spoke to her nicely. And he took her home. And he took her back to his palace. And Shechem told his Hamor, his father saying, Kachli asa yalda asa islishon. Take this girl for me for a wife. Yaakov shoma ki timei es din avitai, and Yaakov heard that they had violated and they had caused his daughter Dino to become impure. Uvon of hoya es mik oyu es mikneo basode, and his other his sons meantime, all of his sons, they were he had all of his sons at this time except Binyamin, and Binyamin wasn't born yet, so they were all with the cattle and the sheep in the sode. Ve'achris Yaakov ad bayom. So Yaakov didn't say anything. He waited for them. Ve'yitzi Chamor avi Shechem el Yaakov ledaber itay. And then Chamor, the son of Shechem, Chamor the king, he came to Yaakov, south to speak to him. Meantime, when Yaakov bore in Asod Kishomim, meantime, the sons of Yaakov came from the field, and Kishomim Bishatzva Anoshim, and when they heard what happened, they became very affected by this. They became very, very upset. Vayicha lehem od, and they became exceedingly angry. Ki navolo osav Yisrael, that such a thing should happen in the house of Yisrael. Lishkav es bas Yaakov, to violate the daughter of Yaakov. Vechein lo yeose, and this is something which should not be done, should not be allowed. In the meantime, Chamor spoke to them, and he said, my son Shechem, he loves your daughter. Give him your daughter, and we will intermarry with each other, and we will make a treaty between each other, and you can stay with us, and we will stay with you, and we open our land to you. Right now you are just in transit, you are just strangers. You can become citizens here, we will open our land to you, you can become residents, and you could do business here. And Shechem said, Harbu alai mi od moharamato. Place whatever marriage settlement you want to. Money is not a problem. Whatever marriage settlement you want for the girl, I will give her. I will give to you. Bayanu v'nei Yaakov v'Shechem v'eschamor oviv b'mirmo. And Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov, answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, b'mirma, with cunningness. And they said to those who was time as Dino Achesam, who caused the sister Dino to become impure. And they said, we cannot get married with you because you are our alien. You are uncircumcised. Previous parishes we had were Yaakov's family from Abraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov were commanded in the Bris Hashem and in the covenant that they must be circumcised. So they someone who is not circumcised is chepe hilono. This is a disgrace to us. But if you want to do this, then we can make a deal with you. Lihimol lochem kol zocher. Go circumcise every male in your nation. And then Unasan is Benaisenu Lachem, this Benaisechem Nikach Lonu, and then we can intermarry with each other, and we will dwell with you, and so forth. But if you're not interested to circumcise every male, then Velakachnis Bitenu Valochnu, then we will take our daughter, and we will be on our way. The deal sounded good to Shechem and Hamor, and they hurried back to their city. And they gave out this proclamation, and they induced the people. They said, these people are good people, and they have a lot of money, and they'll be very good for commerce in the city, and they have good children, and it'll cause, through this we will make very, very good marriages. The only thing is, we have to circumcise ourselves. And they convinced the people to do so. They went and they circumcised every male of the city. And
And on the third day of the circumcision, when the third day brings a lot of pain after an operation, Vayichu shnei bnei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi, Achei Dina. Dina was the daughter of Leah, as we mentioned. And Leah, she had Reuben, Shimon, Levi and Yehuda. Those were her first four sons, and then she had two sons later on, Yisachar and Zvulun. So Shimon and Levi, two of the brothers of Dina, went, and they each took their sword. Actually, the Chazal tell us that they weren't very old at that time. They were still youngsters. But these 14 were pretty hefty chevra. They went and they took their swords, and they came to the city, by Yahargu Kol Zohar, and they annihilated the whole city. They killed every male, and then they went into the palace, and they killed the king, and they killed the prince, Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the sword. And then they took Dina, and they left. But before they left, they went and they took all of the spoils of the city, which Timu Achesan, which caused their sister to become impure. They took the sheep, and they took the cattle, and they took the donkeys, and everything that was in the city, and everything that was in the field. And all of the wealth they took, and they took all the children, and they took all the women, and they took them all as slaves, and they came back home. Yaakov did not know. Yaakov, their father, did not know of this. He only found out about it later. They didn't tell him. And this was a great complaint, a great criticism against them, that they should do something like this without consulting with their father. You have a father, you have to consult with him. You have a mother, you have to consult with her. So Yaakov only found out about it later. And he became upset. Ayoma Yaakov el Shimon velevi, and to Levi. Acharte maisi la visheni b'yeshiva oritz. Meknani uveprizi. You have now ruined my name amongst the Knani, amongst those who dwell in this land. This was in Eretz Yisrael, but it was Canaan. It wasn't given yet to Klal Yisrael. They didn't have the inheritance yet, and it was occupied by seven very, very fierce and strong nations, the Shiva Umais. And he said, now, and these were all sons of Canaan, he says, now you have ruined my name amongst them. Bani Mesei Mishpor, and I am a very small nation, Yaakov was. This is basically his household. And as for Allah, Vikuni, and you have brought us all into danger, because they will gather up against me to smite me. Nishmarati ani uveshi, and they will destroy I and my household. The Torah later on tells us that when Yaakov left, there was a fear and a terror on all of the nations where they did not attack. Kodesh Baruch Hu placed a tremendous fear on the nations. But otherwise, he was in great danger. But they answered, Vayomru, and they said, Hachizona Yaaser, Es Hachoseinu. Are we going to allow them to make a prostitute out of our sister? This is what they answered. So this is this story, and the Torah takes up quite a bit of time with it to elaborate in what took place. Now, firstly, let's try to understand if this is what Shimon and Levi did, if they had legal grounds to do it. Here they went, and they annihilated a whole nation. The first question that one can ask is, Shechem, who had taken Dina, violated her and abducted her, but is this deserving of the death penalty? Because she was not a married woman. From the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach, of the non-Jews, is adultery. But she was not a married woman, she was single. It is true, and Rashi infers to this here, and it's in the Medrash, that it states that ha'umais godru atzmon, from the time of the Mabul, that after the time of the flood, which they saw that the whole world became destroyed, and one of the main reasons why was because the nations of the world had become the promiscuity had become so great, so they decided that they will take upon themselves to gird in this promiscuity, and they will not even have relationships with the New Year's with single women without marriage. And this was also sanctioned by the Beis Din, by the court of Shem ben Noach, Shem the son of Noach. So we do find that there was that decree, and the Gemara brings that in Masecht Aveir Zor Lamed Vav Amud Beis. And they perhaps could strengthen that decree even with the death penalty. But was that the case here? Secondly, a second question. Even if we will say that Shechem was guilty of the death penalty, it was a capital punishment, but what does this have to do with his father and the Kol B'nei Ha'ir, the entire city? They didn't do anything wrong. And thirdly, what Shimon and Levi did, we must say, was in accordance to the law. Because if it wasn't, they would be enormous Rishoy. You kill a single person where the Torah doesn't give you right to. So this is a Rosh HaGomer. This is a very, very evil person. The Torah doesn't tolerate Shfichas Domim, the spilling of innocent blood, like the world today tolerates it. Even one Nefesh Achas, the Torah would have, they would be Rishoyim Gomer, very evil people. And we find that the Yud Bei Shvotim were Kulam Tzadikim. They came to the 12 Shvotim, they were all Tzadikim. They were all righteous. There might have been some complaints against them, but it wasn't to the point, to the extent that they were considered Rishoyim. And it states later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his name in every one of the 12 Shvotim. He put his name in. And also we're dealing here with Levi. Levi was the Miyuchet Sheba Shvotim. Levi was the single one of the Shvotim that was the most sanctified of all the Shvotim. From him was to come Amram and Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and all the Kahanim. So therefore we must say that what they did was legal. We are looking for the legal grounds for it. But if that was the case, so then what did Yaakov complain to them about? If they did what was right, which we say we must assume, so then what was Yaakov complaining about? And later on we find at the end of Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Vayechi that when Yaakov blessed all of his children, he actually cursed not Shimon and Levi himself, but he says Oru es apom, he cursed their wrath, and he took it out on them then. He cursed their wrath, and he says, I have to spread you apart and spread you throughout that, because when you're all together, you're dangerous. So if they did right, what was Yaakov's great complaint against them? There are a number of shitas, there are a number of opinions in this as to what took place. The Rambam writes at the end of Perek Tes of Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam is listing the seven mitzvahs that the Bnei Noach, the children of Noach, were commanded in. At the end he brings the seventh mitzvah is dinim. Dinim means that they are obligated to uphold and to enforce all of their mitzvahs with a court system or any decent system that they can create. Ketzad mitzuvin hein al adinim chayovin laheishiv dayonim v'sheftim b'chol plach uplach. So therefore they are obligated to put up courts and judges in every district, lo dein b'sheish mitzvos elu, to judge the people if there are any infractions or transgressions of these six mitzvahs. And to warn and instruct and to caution the nation to see that it's all kept. Ubenayach sho'ovar alachas misheva mitzvahs. And the din is, the law is, that a benayach, a son of Nayach, that transgresses any one of the seven mitzvahs, yehorek b'saif, he is guilty of the capital punishment. He must die by the sword. And these courts are given the responsibility to see that this is fulfilled. Then the Rambam says as follows: Uvimnezen ischayvu kol balei Shechem hariga. And it was because of this that the people of Shechem were guilty of the capital punishment. Sharei Shechem gozal. He says Shechem stole. So now the Rambam learns what was the hate of Shechem. He stole. It wasn't that he took a single girl and he molested her, but he stole her because they abducted her. They refused to give her back. The Torah says Gezel Nefesh is even worse than Gezel Mammon. You steal a person, that's worse than stealing money. See, that's what we would call kidnapping. And one of their seven mitzvahs is not to steal. So therefore Shechem stole and he held her against the will. In that case, he was deserving of the capital punishment. And the others saw, and they did nothing about it, and they were obligated to enforce and to uphold the laws. So therefore they also all became guilty of the capital punishment. So these were the grounds that Shimon and Levi had in order to annihilate the nation. So we see the importance from here of the enforcement of the law. We have today people who praise themselves on how liberal they are and praise themselves on human rights. But in the meantime, there's nothing wrong with being liberal, there's nothing wrong with human rights, as long as you do not do it at the cost of other human rights. And meanwhile, they destroy worlds with it. The Torah gave to Klal Yisrael 613 mitzvahs. See? The Torah was a very great racist when it comes to Jews. To everyone, seven mitzvahs and that's all. Keep seven mitzvahs at tzaddikim. A Jew, 613 mitzvahs. He breaks one mitzvah. It's terrible. See? But to the Goyim, to the Bnei Nayach, he gave seven mitzvahs. Keep them and you're tzaddikim. But if you don't keep them, then the full weight of the law must come down upon them. And he held the nations responsible to see that the full law of the full force and weight of the law come upon them. And if they don't, then they are as guilty as the criminal. So when you have governments, which we've seen throughout all of history, that do not enforce these laws, they are as guilty as the criminal. We see it. Look through history. You see all of the bloodshed and the wars and the cruelty and the theft and whatnot. This is all of history by the going by the nations of the world, merely because the nations would not enforce these laws. So therefore, this is how the Rambam learns, and these were the legal grounds in which Shimon Halevi had to revenge this city. The Ramban asks under Rambam, he says, if this was the case, then what they did was absolutely right. And if so, what was Yaakov's complaint? Why is he so upset? They did it. What they did was right. If Yaakov didn't want to do it, he was afraid, but his sons weren't afraid, he should have given them a yashikaya. He should have praised them, let alone complain against them and curse their wrath. Then there's a second question, and this is asked by the Maral in the Gurayi. He says, in principle, the Rambam is right, but the application is not. Because over here, you say they saw and they knew what took place, and they did not judge Hamor, or Shechem the son of Hamor. He says, how could they? Shechem was the prince of the land. He was the son of the king. How could they go and judge him when the king was behind him? It would have cost them their heads. They were anusim. If it was within their power to judge him and they didn't, yes, then they share the guilt. But it was not within their power. People can't go and judge the king, especially, I mean, in those days it was a king, it was a monarch with full authority. So therefore, he says, you can't say that they share in the responsibility. They were anusim. Secondly, another, that's the second question. The third question is what the Ramban asks. He says that it is true that on the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Nayach, if they transgress them, then they are guilty and deserving of the capital punishment. But he says that's only the mitzvahs which they transgress through a kumva aseh, through a direct action. For example, if they kill someone, and so forth. If they commit adultery or incest, and so forth. But something that they transgress through sheval taseh, through an inaction, he says, this we do not find the death penalty for them. And here, this lack of enforcement of law and order, that's not a kumbase, that's a sheva altase, that's an inaction. Even though it is true they are guilty, but we do not find for that they are guilty of the capital punishment. So these are the questions that the Ramban and the Maral ask on the Rambam. The Ramban has a little different opinion. He says that the chet, the aveda of Shechem, was true because they transgressed this mitzvah which was called dinim. But he says a chidush, he says something very unique in the seventh mitzvah of the Bnei Nayach of dinim. He says dinim does not merely mean the enforcement of law and order, like the Rambam learns. But dini means that the children of Nayach are obligated in all of the laws, the basic laws, between man and his fellow man. He says, for example, not only actual theft, but damages, or chaboles, if they hit one another. All of these laws are inclusive in dinim. And therefore he wants to say that onus, that of violating a woman against her will, would also be included in that. And therefore for that act alone, even though she's a single woman, there would be the death penalty. This is what the Rabban writes. So he says this was the reason why Shechem was guilty. Not because of merely theft, but because all serious acts where one inflicts on another are all inclusive in what is called dinim, and they are guilty of the death penalty. All right. That explains why Shechem was guilty. But what about the whole city? Why were the others? Because according to the Ramban, he says this, that they didn't enforce the law, that would be a sheva al taseh, that's an inaction, not an action. And on that you wouldn't be guilty of the death penalty. So on this he says you don't have to look for reasons why they were deserving of the death penalty. They were from the Sheba Umais, the seven nations. Consistently the Torah tells us that the seven acts of the seven nations were the worst in the world. For example, the Torah tells us, "Kimasei eretz Mitzrayim lo sasu," that you should not emulate the acts of Egypt. "Ukimasei," and the acts of the nations of Canaan that you are coming to, you shall not emulate. And the Midrash says that the acts of Egypt were the worst of any nations in the world, except to the seven nations. They were worse. They were all murderers. They were all adulterers. They were all Ebdei Avodah Zarah, idolaters. That's why when Yeshua went in to conquer the land, he was instructed Leisechaya kol neshama, that you leave no one live unless they are willing to accept the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach or run, but otherwise leave no one live. They were the most cruelest nations in the world, and they were all deserving of the death penalty. So he says you don't have to look for reasons why Shimon and Levi could kill them. And now we understand what Yaakov wanted. Shimon and Levi, at that time, they weren't instructed to go kill these people. But they decided that this is a good time because they wanted to take their nekoma. They wanted revenge. So they were opportunists. They wanted revenge for what they did to their sister. So they exploited the fact that they were deserving of the death penalty anyhow, and therefore they annihilated them. And this is what Yaakov was upset with. He says, who instructed you to annihilate them? You did this merely because you wanted your revenge. Meanwhile, you have brought us all into sakana, all into danger because of your wrath. See, so that's why he was upset. So the Ramban holds that the reason why Shechem himself was deserving of the death penalty is because any serious infraction of taking away the rights of one person to another that's inclusive in the laws to the Bnei Noach. And why was the rest of the city guilty? They didn't do anything and they didn't do any action. That was because they were all guilty for their other acts that they were always doing. And Shimon and Levi decided to use that opportunity to take revenge. And this is why Yaakov was upset over it. He says you should have killed Shechem and Hamor and finished. And leave the city alone. We come now to a third opinion. The Maral's in the Gurayu. It seems he agrees to the Rambam that the reason why Shechem was guilty of the death penalty because he stole. He stole Dina. And abducting, to steal, this is theft. And this is one of their mitzvahs. Now the question is, why were the rest of the people guilty? And then after the Maral says you cannot say because they didn't enforce the law, because they were anusim. They couldn't. It was impossible for them because they had the weight of the king against them. He says a different reason. He says this was not to be considered a maisi yachidi, an individual act. He says this was an act of war. Why? Because it had the sanction and the endorsement of the king behind it. He says, for example, what would happen what would happen if a foreigner would come and he blows up a restaurant? Alright, you take him to the courts. He went and he blew up a restaurant. What happens if he was sent by the government of another country to do that? Or he's endorsed and sanctioned by the government of another country to do that? No, then you don't take him to the courts. This is an act of war. A similar case was is that this is the same thing why they were always concerned on the attempted assassination of President Kennedy. If it was a Meshugana, if it was a lunatic, okay, well, then we have to take him and judge him in the courts. But if he was sent by Russia, this meant that America would have to go to war to retaliate against Russia. This is not something which is a reshus. This is not something which is something you can do or not. You must do. The fact is there have been many theories that he was sent by Russia because Oswald, the assassinators, had roots in Russia. And this information, though, was suppressed because had it come out, America would have to retaliate, and they were afraid that they'd bring the world in a nuclear war. A similar situation is that it was with President Bush that there was an attempted assassination on him. And when they found out about it, and they found out that it was inspired by Iraq, later on they sent bombers over to blast Iraq. At any rate, this is what is known as an act of war between two nations. He says, here you're dealing with two nations. You're dealing with the nation of Hamor, And you're dealing here with the nation of Yaakov. Yaakov was known as a nation then, as the Torah tells us right here. They said, when Hamor came, he said, we will be la'am echod. We will be one nation, not two nations. Now, had this been an act of an individual, okay, you have to deal with the individual. But when the king comes, and he sanctions it, and he endorses it, that means it has the full weight of the government behind it. This becomes the act of another country against another country. This is an act of war. The Maral says that when there's an act of war, during war, is huter kol ha'am. These are the rules of warfare. When two nations are at war, then one nation has a right to respond without discriminating. So this was their reason that they had, their legal grounds to go and respond and retaliate against the whole city. Yaakov became upset. He says, because, all right, you had a right to retaliate against the whole city, but you didn't have to. You should have killed Shechem and Hamor. You should have taken Dinah home and leave the city alone. So you don't have to. Take out your revenge on them and finished. So this is how the Maral learns. So he also learns that the legal grounds were that Shechem had stolen, and therefore he was guilty of the capital punishment. The others also could have been retaliated against because this became an act, a Maisa Uma, an act of a nation, because the king sanctioned it. So it was war. And they utilized that to retaliate against the whole city and wipe them out. And this was why Yaakov was upset, because he said, you have the right to, but you didn't have to, and you shouldn't have done it. Well, this gives us some legal grounds. Now, there are a number of other things, though, that we can learn from this parsha. Some very, very great points. Firstly, we have to take note and take great note of the enormous response of Shimon and Levi in this case. It is unbelievable what they did. It states, the Torah tells us in detail, Vayivayem HaShlishi, on the third day, Vayesim Ko'abim, when they were suffering from their Brismila, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dinah, took their swords. And they came into the city and they killed every male in the city. Firstly, they placed themselves at enormous risk, because whether they were sick or not sick, you don't walk into a city and start killing people without expecting someone to shoot back. Nobody's just going to lay down and let you do it. And these were two. So here they were prepared. I mean, they did a thing which was highly, highly, highly dangerous. And they were prepared to do this. Then they went into the palace. This is like you, Lahabdil, the James Bond movie. They went into the palace, see, and they killed Hamor, the king, and then they kill his son, the prince, and then they take Dinah and flee. But it doesn't end there. Right? Then they take care of, now they could have left. That's what Yaakov said. Why don't you just take Dinah and leave? No, it didn't end then. Then they went into the city, after every male was dead, and they gathered up all of the sheep and all of the cattle and all of the donkeys in the city, that wasn't enough. They went out into the fields and in the sod to get the other. And then they took all of that away. I don't know, it says just two. And they were youngsters. Unless they took their servants with them, I don't know. Then they went, and the women, the women were not sick. It was the men. Meanwhile, it was a city, who knows, maybe thousands of women. Then they went, and they took all of the wealth of the city. And they took all of the children of the city, and all of the women of the city. And they took them all as captives. Can you imagine when Yaakov looked out the window to see what was coming? There was a whole city marching towards him, led by Shimon and Levi. And secondly, this means there was no zecher left of the city. There was no zikaron. There was no remembrance whatsoever left of the city. Finished. Finished for history. Actually, the Russians wanted to do that to Germany. The Americans wouldn't let them. The Russians wanted to cut up Germany in pieces and divide it up amongst the countries, that there should never be a remembrance of Germany left. See? Americans wouldn't let them. The Americans rebuilt them. But this is what they did. And there was no city left. There was no nation left of them. And these were two. And the Chazal tell us they were comparatively quite young at the time. Now, why did they do this? They were angry. It states here that when they first heard about it, it says, "Vayishatzfu hanoshim." First of all, they became very upset. "Vayichar lohem ma'od." They became very, very angry. They had fierce anger. Now we know what it means when Yaakov said, "Oru apam." See, he curses their anger. If this anger is, this is what the anger they were capable of. But so they were enormously angry. And this whole plan of the circumcision, the bris milah, this was all part of their strategy. They had this in the beginning, they had this in mind. Now, what were they so angry about? See, what was they so angry? So it states, Vayichar lohem od, this is in Pasuk Zayin, ki nevola osa b'Yisrael. Lishka v'zbash Yaakov v'chein lo ye osa. Because a nevola, the Targum says kelono, a great shame and disgrace was done to the house of Israel to violate the daughter of Yaakov. This is what they were angry about. They were angry because the Taharish Israel, the purity of Israel, was defiled. Because this was Yaakov Avinu, and the Imos, and the Matriarchs, and the 12 Shvatim, and Dina. And the purity of the house of Yaakov was defiled. V'chein lo ye'oseh. And they said, this is something which never must take place. And they were going to make sure that this would never take place again. They were going to teach the nations a lesson that they will never forget. Not to defile the house of Yaakov. He said, V'chein lo ye'oseh. Kolono, this was a disgrace. This was their anger. You see what it meant to the Shvatim, the purity of Klal Yisrael. That the two brothers went was an enormous risk. I mean, not only firstly, even the men, nobody could take a sword or a bow and arrow or something and shoot back. But secondly, all the women were there. They were ready to give their lives for the purity of Klal Yisrael. Then, when Yaakov criticized them for doing it, he says, look, you should have reacted, but you didn't have to react at that level. They said to Yaakov, "Akezona yase sacheseinu. We are going to let the nations of the world make a prostitute out of our sister? Never." And this is what they did. This is something to take note of and to absorb. Was the yahrzeit of one of my rabbeim, the Motel Katz Eicher Tzadik Lebracha, the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva. So I saw in a sefer that he brings the Ibn Ezra on this. And the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk that states where they answered Yaakov, and then they said, "Hakazona yase es hacheseinu," that we will we should allow our sister to become a zona, a prostitute. So the Ibn Ezra writes as follows. He writes, he prints over the words Akazeni Yase, and then he adds Shechem es Achesenu, we should allow Shechem to make a zona, a prostitute from our sister, which is nothing. He's only saying over the words of the Torah. But he adds a yud in Achosenu. That's all he does. He adds a yud. So he brings out, what is he doing? What's the difference between Achosenu with a yud or without a yud? And the Torah is written without a yud. Achosenu without a yud is singular. They're referring to Dina. We should allow our sister to become a prostitute, that they should make a prostitute out of her. He adds a yud to say we should allow them to make a prostitutes out of our sisters. In other words, they were not referring necessarily here, they were referring to all history. If we do nothing, then the goyim will do this again. We are going to show them something that they will think twice before they start up with us. Akazeinu yase achoseinu, we will allow this to happen to our sisters. Veloshen abim, see, in plural. So this is one very great point to see how prepared the Shvatim, the Bnei Yaakov, were, and to what extent they were prepared to go to guard the Taras Yisrael, the Kedusha, the sanctity of the house of Yisrael. Second point, and this is also a point of very, very great weight. We can ask the question that this that happened was a great injury to Yaakov Avinu. Something like this should happen to one of his daughters, to his daughter. So it was a great injury to him. And things don't just happen. That's the question. Why did this happen? Why did it happen to Yaakov? So the Medrash tells us. The Medrash says in Medrash Rabbah, and especially right after he came back from 22 years al aderech, the house of Lavan, and he went through all types of great difficulties, and he survived them all. He came back shalem. He was in totality with his physical health, and he was in totality with his material wealth, and he was in totality with his Torah. Why did something like this happen? So the Medrash tells us, it goes back to the Pasuk. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, in this Parsha, in Perik Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Vayokom Balailohu, that when Yaakov was ready to meet Esav, and he was afraid that Esav would try to destroy him, so he went and he started to take everything on the other side of the river. It states he got up that night, Vayikach Eshtei Noshov, Veshtei Shiv Chesov. He took his two wives and the two maidservants, Vesachar Oso Yelodov, and the 11 children, Vayavar Esmavar Yabok. And he went to the other side of the river. The Chazal asked, what do you mean 11 children? He had 12 children. Because 11 were born, the only one that was not born yet was Binyamin. So he had 11 sons, but then he had Dinah. So there were 12. So why does it say 11? So Rashi brings from the Medrash, V'dina Hechen Hoyso. Where was Dina? Nosna Beteva. He concealed her in a box. V'noal Befaneho. He even nailed the box closed. Shalitain by Esav Einov. In order that Esav shall not see her, she was very beautiful. And he was afraid that Esav would see her, he would perhaps take her. And therefore he concealed her. That's why it states on the 11 children. Then Rashi brings Velakach Nenash Yaakov. And this is why this punishment came, this great tragedy came upon Yaakov. Shemona me ochiv, because he held her back from his brother. Shema tachsirena lemutav. Maybe if Esav would have wanted to marry her, he should have allowed it. And she would have brought Esav back to righteousness. And because he did not allow, Yaakov prevented this, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu let her fall into the hands of Shechem. This is what the Medrash tells us. Now, the Medrash says a little more. The Medrash is in Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Ein Vav, Posuk Tes, Os Tes. V'dina heichan hi, nosta b'teva v'nol b'faneho. Where was Dina? He put her in a box and he locked it. Omar, harosha ze einai romahi. Shilayitla eino v'yirei sav yikach esam imenu. He said, this Rasha, Esav, he has haughty eyes. I don't want him to cast his eyes on my daughter. Who knows, maybe he'll take fancy to her. And then he'll take her from me. Rafuni b'shem rababa kein badlo omar, omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a posik from Iyov Vav, Lamos merehu chosid. You have prevented from doing chesed to your reehu, to your friend. Monatu mereacho chosid. Maratu chazdu minochuch. You have declined from doing chesed to your own brother. Deilo in snabis legavro lezinso. And had she married him, then this would have never happened. Because she would have had a husband, she would have been in the house with her husband. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lebikashta la'asiyah lemohul, you didn't want to marry her to a circumcised person, Esav. Esav was Yitzchok circumcised all of his sons. Harei nisas la'or. She'll end up marrying an uncircumcised person. Lebikashta la'asiyah derecheta, you didn't want to marry her in a permissible manner. Harei nisas derecheta iser, she will become married in a forbidden manner. Adohu deksiv, that's what it states. Vateitze dina basleo. The Medrash Yalkut Shimoni. And Simon Toftov Kuf Osvov adds this. It says, Ilu Hoysola Esav, had she married Esav, Hoysom Migayeres Esav, she would have converted him to good. Kishem Shigayer Le Eov, just like she converted Eov. What is it referring to? It's referring to the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tesvav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Tesvav Amud Beis, brings about five or six different opinions as to who Iyov was, Job. It's all discussion. The Gemara in Talmud, who was Iyov? Some say that he lived in the very early days. Some say that he lived in the time of Mesha, by the Meraglim, the time of the spies. There's all different opinions. Yeshemrim, some say, Eov bime Yaakov hoya. Eov lived during the time of Yaakov, Jacob. V'dina bas Yaakov noso. And Dina married him. Dina was the one who married him later. After this tragedy happened, then Dina went, and she got married to Eov. What happened? She was Megaya Eov. She made him into a kosher Israel and a tzaddik, a righteous person. Now, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, had you given her to Esav, she could have been Megaya Esav. This is what this Medrash says. And this was the cause why this befell Yaakov Avinu. Now, on this there's a question. Question is asked. This is a question that's asked by all. A father, he wants the best shit if possible for his daughter. And when he looks for a shidduch for his daughter, if he's a good father, she's not a good father, right, it takes anyone. If he's a good father, he looks for a tzaddik, not a rosha. Right. Looks for someone who's righteous, not a rosha. And looks for a Talmud Chochem. And Yaakov Avinu, certainly, he's going to look for the best, not the worst. So what was the complaint against Yaakov Avinu? He was just fulfilling his parental responsibilities. He was worried that Esav would take Dina, so he concealed her. And here we find that he's punished for it, and with this terrible punishment. The answer to this is, we see that Dina, the Rabban writes, she was exceedingly beautiful, very, very beautiful. Then the Rabban asks, why didn't the Torah say she was so beautiful? By the matriarchs, we find that the Torah consistently says, this one was so beautiful, and that one was so beautiful, and this one was so beautiful. She says, the Torah here didn't want to speak of her beauty, because by the matriarchs, beauty became an asset to them. By her, the beauty became a liability, because this is what Shechem saw. So the Torah didn't want to mention her beauty. But she seemed to have had, she was the daughter of Yaakov, she seemed to have had an enormous power of both brains and beauty. Because here it states she married Eov and she was Megayarim. She married Eov and she made a great man out of him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that had she married Esav, she might have been Megayarim. Esav the Rosho. So evidently she wasn't just a simple girl. Here you take Esav, who was the epitome of all evil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that had she married Esav, she would have made a tzaddik out of him, a righteous person, like she made out of Eov. And Yaakov was not, heaven forbid, stupid. He was a clever person, Yaakov. If this is what Dina was, there's no doubt that he could see it. He knew it. So we're not speaking about something that is totally out of mind. If it was totally out of mind and inconceivable, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to punish him. Then it would have been his duty to keep her away from him. But evidently, there were very solid grounds that had she married Esav, she would have had an enormous influence on him. Like the Medrash in HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why are you keeping her from your brother? If you give her to your brother, she will perhaps be Maxim Lamutov. She perhaps will bring him back to good. Monato chesed me ochich. You are keeping chesed from your own brother. And this was the criticism. Yaakov didn't want to discuss it. In other words, Yaakov should have contemplated, am I doing right in locking her in the chest? Am I doing right in withholding her from Esav? She's an enormous influence, an enormous personality. And there is very good chances that she will influence Esav to good. And my own brother. Yaakov wasn't interested. He didn't want to discuss it. No. He says no. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not right. Me'achicho, from your own brother. Monato chesed. You're keeping chesed. All right. You don't want to give it to a mohul, to a circumcised one. You'll end up giving her to an oral, to an uncircumcised one. You don't want to marry her beheter in a permissible matter. You'll end up marrying her be'iser in a prohibited manner. This is what we see from here. And the Mesilas Yesharim brings Mesilas Yesharim brings in Vederekhniyas Azihiras, that's Perek Dalet, it's Daf Kof Gimel in this print of the Eshkol. He says the Gemara in Yevamos brings on Daf Kuf Kof Aleph Usvivav Nisar Meod, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktek Im Svivav Im Kachasidov Kechut Hasaro. Those who are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you always have a great king, a great monarch. The people have to, they can't even get near him. They're outside. Those who are, have a little more influence, they come a little closer. Those who have great influence, they can come a little closer. The greatest ones of his ministers, the greatest ones, they stay right around him. By Kodesh Baruch Hu is the same thing. See? And who's the Svivov? Who are the ones that stay right around the Kodesh Baruch Hu? His Chasidov, his Tzadikim, the righteous ones. So it would be wonderful to be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, not so wonderful. Svivav nis'ar me'od. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medaktek al svivav kechut hasaro. The king can pardon what happens out there. But what happens in his immediate vicinity, there kechut hasaro, there he judges people with the hairbreadth. And that's how he judges his tzaddikim. And the Mesilas Yesharim brings many, many cases where we see that he judges his svivav, his tzaddikim, who are close to him, with such exactness. And one of his examples is this example. He says, "L'fishanosan es dina b'teva k'day shalei kochel Esav," because Yaakov put dina in the chest in order that Esav shouldn't take her. "Afapishi kevan osay hoyisav vade letova," even though he meant well. But still, the fact that he withheld chesed from his brother, Omru b'medrash, the medrash says, Omel HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lomas mereu chosed, Lamos mereu chosed, that you have refused to give chesed to your brother, Lebikash l'asiyah l'mohu, you didn't want, did not want to marry her to a circumcised person, Arei nisis l'orem, she will marry an uncircumcised one. Lebikash l'asiyah derecheter, you didn't want her to marry in a permissible manner, Arei nisas derechisa, she will get married in a prohibited manner. Here we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's medaktek, that when it comes to the great people, they cannot just make decisions just so easy, flat out. But they have to go into it with very, very great thought. And this was the complaint that they pointed the finger at Yaakov. Reb Yosef Leib, that's the old Telzerov. He has a Shir Das in which he brings this. The Shir Das is in Chelek Beis, Simen Tesvov, Yimar Yishenim Kemalochim. And there he says, when we marry off a daughter, he says, what are we interested in? We're interested it should be a good family. We're interested the Mechotonim should be good. But how many times is that lichveid atzmai? That's for our honor. See? We feel, listen, for us, it's past. It's a good mishpacha. It's for our honor. It's not necessarily l'shem shemayim. See? And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointed the finger at Yaakov, that if you'd be kula l'shem shemayim, if you would do everything that you should be doing, you would give it to Esav. But you had other cheshbainus. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a beichin levaveis. He looks into the hearts of people. This he could do. And then one final point from here. And this is also something to take note of. And this is by again by Ramotel Katz, Zichron Livracha, where he asked a question on this. He says, "Good, true. Must have been that Dina was a very, very great individual because of all the facts and figures that were bringing him. But there's still a risk. there's still a risk involved. Right? Esav was the Rosh HaGomor. So there's still a risk. So what's wrong with a father refusing to take the risk with his daughter's life? He says, yeah, sure, I can marry her to so-and-so, and she could be a good influence on him. But on the other hand, he might be a bad influence on her. So I don't want the shidduch. I don't want to take the risk. He says, what do you see from here? He says, just like in all life, in business, businessmen all the time take risks. Whenever they invest money, they're always taking risks. There is no business venture that won for sure to win. But how do they, a good businessman, how will he judge the risk? He looks at the possible losses and he looks at the possible gains. If it's mostly loss, no, it's not good. There's a good chance, then he goes for it. He says, what Yaakov didn't do here is look at the gains. He says, do you know what the world would have been without Esav? Esav Arosho. The Roman Empire is from Esav Arosho. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is from Esav Arosho. The Nazi Holocaust, which he himself lost his whole family, was from Esav Arosho. You have a chance here to eliminate Esav Arosho from the world by making him into Esav HaTzadik. It would have been a different world. And you're afraid to take the risk. And he says, we learn. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that. He says, he would say in Yiddish, it's when a person just like he takes, he says, punkt wie er nimmt a gamble, he would say in Yiddish, when it comes to Gashmias, so was, must one also take a gamble for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to Ruchnias. He says, many times you want a goal. He says, they have this, their own experience. They want to build a yeshiva. A new yeshiva in America, they came. People didn't want to take the risk. It's a new yeshiva. How do I know it'll be good? Maybe in America it won't be good. He would say, but look at what the gain will be. Sure, there's a risk. Maybe it won't be successful. You build a new day school, a Beis Chinuch, in a city that doesn't have it. People say, no, I can't send my children there. I don't want to take the risk with my children. I have no right to risk my children. It's a new school. How do I know it'll be successful? He says, sure, there's a risk. But what do you have to gain? You're bringing Torah to a new land. You're bringing Torah to a city. Any businessman, when it comes to business or anything else, he takes such a risk. You have to take a risk also for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov, here he had a chance. Yes, for sure, there's nothing for sure in the world. Maybe she wouldn't have been an influence on him, he would have been an influence on her. But it was a good chance, it was a good gamble. And what would have been had he won? He says it would have been a Welt on Esav, a world without Esav. He says, you know what a world without Esav would have been? That means 2,000 years, the last 2,000 years of Churbonis, of Churban has come from Esav. So he says, this is what we learn from here. So there's a great deal that one can learn and absorb from this episode. Avina, the daughter of Yaakov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.